honoring God today on this Sabbath Sunday. And I thank God for that today. If you would, stand with me across the building. We're going to read Galatians what? 2 and 20. That's right. We're going to read that because we read it every Sunday morning. So let's read that now. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. It is good that we can come together again as a body of believers. And there is not another scripture or a scripture that you've memorized. If you'll stay with us every Sunday morning, we'll read Galatians 2 and 20. You'll soon have it memorized and you will know it. And that is a good scripture to have because we truly are living a crucified life because it's not about you. It's not about me, but it's about what's inside of us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one. He is the author, the finisher of your faith. He who begins a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the very end. And He is a God of understanding, a God of great compassion, and a God that truly loves you and I. And thank the Lord that He has sent His Son that we can have victory and have it more abundantly. I'm ending out today on my maturity series. So if you've missed it, I want you to be encouraged. For those that are watching us live today, you can go to www.vfclexington.org and you can go into the maturity series and go into the media area and look at that, and you'll see every one of the sermons that I have spoke on the maturity series. I promise you, I challenge you to take it sometimes and look at it in your quiet time, not to praise me, but to hear the Word of God and to hear how you can mature in Christ and how you can grow in Christ. And I share with you a lot of information on how to grow, because God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be babies. He wants us to mature. He wants us to become the adult that we need to be and the person that we need to be. And for us to do that is to be into God's Word and to learn from the Word of God how that you and I, when we face trials in our life, how we'll be able to handle them, how we'll be able to overcome them. And if we don't know nothing about the Word, if we haven't heard anything about the Word of God, then we won't know how to handle certain things. We'll try to handle it the best way we possibly can, but there is the best way to handle the problem, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the best way that we can handle things when we give it to the Lord. And sometimes we just don't like to do that. We don't want to relinquish it, but we do. We have to relinquish. We have to give it to the Lord. And a lot of things that we cannot handle, we have to put it in God's hands. So if you have your Bibles today, and it's up projected on the screen, there's a Bible in your pew today. And let's go into the New Testament to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Ephesians 4 and 11. We're in the New Testament, and we're going to look here a little bit. Last Sunday's sermon was about the mature Christian. And we talked about the mature Christian in wisdom. We talked about the mature Christian in worship. And we talked about the mature Christian walk. So we looked at wisdom as a mature Christian. We looked at worship, how that we are to worship the Lord as a mature Christian. And then we looked at how we are to walk as we are to see as a mature Christian. God has a team assigned to bring us to maturity. I want you to know this today. God has a team assigned to bring us maturity. Do you know God does not leave us without tools? God does not leave us hopeless and leaves us empty, but He wants to complete us. He wants His work to be fulfilled in your life and in my life every day. And without Him, we cannot do anything, but we must need Him in our lives. Let's look at the scriptures here a little bit. In Ephesians 4 and 11, the Apostle Paul, he writes and says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So I want you to look at this a little bit, how that we are to mature. And the title of my message today in my maturity series, sermon number 6, is the question is, why grow up? The question is, why grow up? And you may ask yourself, and you may say, or ask to, even to me, and say, "Well, Pastor, why do we need to grow up? You're talking about growing and maturing." Well, I'm going to give you some reasons why we need to grow up, because it's going to be beneficial as we hear what the Lord says to us on why we should grow up. As God creates a team, He assigns each and every one to do a part within the body of Christ. In other words, He does things for us so that we can mature and advance in the work of the ministry, just as you would advance in your job force that you work, or maybe even in military, you advance, you go into other areas, you go into other levels, you go into other things, you get promoted because of what you may have done in the past, and then you move up. Well, that's what God wants us to do spiritually. He wants us to move up. He wants us to grow on up into other things. Why? Because God cannot begin to say a lot of things to you until you mature enough to understand what He's trying to say. When someone comes to know the Lord at the very beginning of birth spiritually, you can't get the full meat of what God is saying until you grow a little bit, until you hear a little bit, till you apply a little bit to your life. Then that's when God begins to move in your life, where you're able to take on what He is trying to say. So what does He do, Pastor? This is what He does. He Himself gives into the church. He gives apostles. He gives some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. So let me say today, it's not just a one-man band with the pastor. I'm not the Lone Ranger. You know, we see that show back many, many years ago, and I'm telling my age now because some of our young people has probably never seen the Lone Ranger. But the Lone Ranger was a one-man band. He had Tonto on the side. But the Lone Ranger basically did a lot of things for the community, and he was like the policeman. He was like the man that fought for you and stood up for you, and when trouble came, you know, he was there to put out everything, and Tonto was there to kind of help him out a little bit. But I want to share with you today, it is not just you within the church that does everything, but God has created a body, which is the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ when you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. You've now entered the body. Well, now God has placed different people within the church to help one another mature in Christ Jesus. So the apostle and the prophets, through their writings, evangelists begins to teach us the value of soul winning. Pastors and teachers keep believers strong in their faith. And this perfect or mature, the word perfect and the word that we see mature is that of the saints, that God is building us up day by day, so there we're growing as everyone plays their part within the church. God's purpose is to build up the body of Christ. God is not trying to tear His body down. He's trying to build His body up. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. One day He's coming back for the bride. He's coming back for His church. But everybody that's in the church, we play a different part, and we play a valuable part as we unite ourselves in the bond of love, and as we pray for one another, iron sharpens iron, we connect with one another, and we lift one another up in prayer. I've said it, and I'll say it again. If you're not here on Sunday mornings, a lot of times our minds may not be with you because you're not here. But when you're here physically, we can pray for one another. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assemblings of ourselves. We come together because we encourage one another. You encourage me because you're here today. I encourage you because I'm bringing the Word to you. So therefore, we are helping one another as we encourage one another. My first point today is this. Who is to do the work of the ministry? Let's look at this a minute. Who is to do the work of the ministry? You said, well, you said, Pastor, that God called the apostles and called prophets and evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Then who is to do the work of the ministry? Ephesians 4 and 12 says this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who is to do the work of the ministry? Guess what? It is the saints of God that's doing the work of the ministry. There again, the pastor is not the main man to do everything. It was never designed that way. There are some churches today think the pastor has to do it all. And that is not true, because that's not biblical. Because it's not for the pastor, because Jesus never designed the pastor to do it all. It was never designed for the deacon to do it all. What is designed is for the saints of God. When we see the word saint, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're considered a saint of God, because now you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And now for the equipping of the saints, for the working of, we have a ministry, folks. Listen, I want to encourage you today. It's not just walking in a church and turn around and walking back out and wait till next Sunday again. When you come to a church, and when you've come for a little bit of a time, guess what? You're there to help within the church. You're there to help within the ministry. I use Sister Linda. She just came on to the church. She gave her heart to the Lord. She rededicated her life. We prayed with her. She talked with me. She said, Pastor, I want to join the church. And so I was talking with her and telling her a little bit about the church and everything. And so we had time together talking about it. And so she came and she joined the church. And so she came to me a few weeks later after she joined, and she said, Pastor, she says, does the church have a food bank ministry here? And I said, no, Linda. I said, we don't have a food bank ministry. She said, well, the Lord has been impressing upon me to start a food bank ministry here at Lexington. And says, what do you think about it? And I said, well, you know, Linda, I said, you know, we haven't done a food bank here in quite a while, but I said, if that's something that the Lord has pressed upon you to do, I said, I want you to go ahead and do that. And so she stepped out in faith, and she began to believe that God would help her through the food bank ministry here. And so it has been doing wonderful. We've been helping families that are less fortunate. We've been reaching out into the community, and we're reaching. That's what a church does, but that's what the body of Christ does. That's equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so just that little gesture there begins begins to move out. God begins to bless. God begins to touch families. And the Lord begins to touch your church because we're stepping out in faith and we're doing what the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is saying unto us so that we can edify that of the body of Christ. And I use Sister Linda as an example. I know she doesn't mind that because God is blessing her. And I want you to know that's just one part of the ministry of your local church. And there's other ministries within the church that God is wanting to grow. And you will feel good about the church that you're connected to because you know that there's ministries that are going out to help within the community and to help one another even inside of the church. We have families that have needs that need help as well. So we're helping on the inside, we're helping on the outside, and that's just one of the works that God is doing. And so with that, the saints are to do the work of the ministry. Saints are those who have been born again. All believers are to do the work of the ministry. Most churches reverse the divine plan. Pastors do the work of the ministry. Saints come to listen and criticize the sermons. Congregations seek to the perfect of the pastor and to the minister. Too many Christians are but praying spectators. Paying spectators. Too many Christians are but paying spectators. What is the result of this backward present plan? The church moves at a snail pace when we get our minds on other things that's not pertaining of the body of Christ. We need to come in prayer and encourage one another and lift one another up in prayer. Don't walk away from your church and talk about your church, talk about your pastor, talk about things that are negative because guess what? You're just talking about yourself. You're just talking about that has no business because we are to edify one another. We're to lift one another up. If somebody comes in this building that's all tattered up and they got no ring noses and ear noses and ear piercings, it's not for us to sit there and judge them and let them be an outcast. We are to love them where they're at. You may look on the outer appearance, but God sees a man and a woman's heart on the inside, and He is the one that does the changing in individuals' lives. Don't judge the fruit by its color. You need to look with the eyes of Jesus because Jesus sees what's inside a man's heart or a woman's heart. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. That is what's wrong a lot with our churches today. That's why we're losing young people. That's why we're losing young couples. We'll judge people up and down by the way they look. It is not for us to look on the outer appearance, but it's for God to move inside that individual because if God can save them, they can reach others that you cannot reach. I've said it and I will say it again. There'll be people that I'll be able to reach that you won't be able to reach. But there'll be people that you'll be able to reach that I'll never be able to reach. Why? Because every one of us in this room has a testimony. Every one of us has had a past. Every one of us has done things that we shouldn't have done. But guess what? When God saves us, God lets us know of our past. But guess what? We become a tool. We become that God wants us to be so that we can equip, hallelujah, for the saints of the Lord, for the work and the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, members miss the blessing of the ministry. I want to share with you today. Members will miss the blessing. You will miss your blessing. If you're constantly looking at everything else, she's not like this, he's not like that, she's not doing this, he's not doing that. The church is not this, the church is not that. This is going on. Listen, you're going to miss your blessing because you're around gossiping, which we shouldn't be doing, And we're telling a lot of things that we shouldn't be doing, and we're tattling on things that we're connected with. But listen, be careful. You're talking about God's people. You're talking about God's church. We have to be careful, because you're going to miss out on your blessing. When the body is not busy, it creates busybodies. Let me say this again. When the body is not busy working for the Lord, it creates busybodies. You know what busybodies is? Bothering somebody else's matter that doesn't matter to you. It's messing with somebody else that you shouldn't even be messing with. It's something else that you're talking about that you shouldn't even be talking about, because you don't know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But when it goes to a second person, that's second hand. When it goes to the third person, that's third hand. And it goes step by step by step until everything, when it gets to the fifth person, all that was said, none of it was true, because it's been fabricated. Because it's been stretched over and over and over. Listen, get your mind on the cross. Get your mind off of people. Get your mind off of what's going on, and get your mind on the cross and say, Lord, I'm looking to you. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm trusting in you. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not listening to this negativity, but I'm listening to you, Lord, because, Lord, true source comes from you. And when you get your mind on the cross and get your mind on God, everything else will dissolve all around you. Because that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to get your mind on everything else that's going on, that they're not this, they're not this, he's not this, he's not that. You see, that's what the devil does. But when you get your mind on the cross and get your mind on God, everything else dissolves. We must get back to God's plan. All believers are ministering day in and day out. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are a representation of Christ. That's what an ambassador is. He represents. She represents. And that's what we're to do as Christians. Second, my point today is this. What is the work of the ministry? The ministry is anything that builds up the body of Christ. What is the work of the ministry? The ministry is anything that works up, builds up the body of Christ. To edify is to build up. Are you building people up, or are you tearing people down? Are you building people up, or are you tearing people down? This is where becomes a mature Christian. When you're edifying, that is showing out that you are a mature Christian. When you're tearing down is showing that you're not a mature Christian. It's showing that you're still a baby and you're not growing, because you're allowing everything else to stifle your relationship with the Lord and your growth and your development. Listen, the ministry is caring for the afflicted. What are you doing to edify believers? What are you doing today? Are you edifying people today and believers? The ministry is caring for the afflicted, comforting the sick and the sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says this, therefore comfort each other and edify one another. We are to comfort one another. We're not to gossip with one another. We're not to say what John Doe and Susie Q is doing. We're to pray for them. If you have a situation that's not good, you're to pray for them. Not put it on social media, not take it to somebody else, but you take it to the Lord in prayer. And you give it to the Lord in prayer. Because the Bible says, comfort each other. Don't tear each other down. Comfort each other and edify, lift one another up, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, as the Apostle Paul writes, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. You see, when the enemy is in turmoil with you, it's in turmoil with the church, because you are the church. We're just in a shell. We're in a building. But when you walk out the door, the church just walked out the door. When you come back into this building, then you are the church. You've come back into this building. But what you are at home is what you are at church. What you are at church is what you are at home. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly and comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak and be patient with all. That is showing a mature Christian. Comfort the faint-hearted. Those that may not be where you're at spiritually, lift them up in prayer. Exalt them, help them, exhort them. Uphold the weak, be patient with all. You know, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is for us to be patient. The ministry is for us to partake in the work that God has called you and I to do. Visit the fatherless and the widows, James 1 and 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The ministry is caring for physical needs of believers. Paul distributed it, the necessity of saints. Romans 12 and 11, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. See, Paul was saying, don't neglect the church, don't neglect the body, don't neglect what's in the body, but lift them up, nourish. Those that have a faint of heart, lift them up. Ministry to the poor saints in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul talks about ministering to help those that are poor that was in Jerusalem. Romans 15 and 25, but now I am going to Jerusalem, Paul says, to minister to the saints. For it's pleased those from Macedonia, from Arcadia, to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So here the Apostle Paul saw there was a church that was in need. He went to Jerusalem. He saw that they needed some things, physical things. They needed some things. He was there to help them. The ministry is caring for the spiritual needs of believers, ministering to those that are even overtaken by a fault. Here's a scripture right here. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Listen, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. If you do find, this is showing the maturity of being a Christian, if you do find someone that's in a fault, you don't kick them down. You don't stomp them down. You don't throw them to the curb. And you don't leave them there. But what do? The Bible says you restore them. You restore them. I think a lot of times that's why we've missed a lot of people in our church. It's because when we found a fault, we want to just cast them to the side, throw them away, and move on. And we've lost a lot of good people because we have not done what God has said in His Word is to restore. Restore. Pray for them that do you wrong. Those that despitefully use you, you pray for them. Bless them. You say, well, Pastor, how can I do that when they've just stuck a dagger in my back? How can I do that if they're this and that? You are to do what God says for you to do, and when you have done it, the Bible clearly lets us know that Jesus says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll take care of them. I just need you to take care of what I'm asking you to do. And when you do that, that's when God will be God in your life, because you're doing what the Word of God says, and that is to restore. And if there's ever a time that we need to be in the mode of restoring people that has even drifted away from the Lord, those that have walked away from God because they've been offended by someone or something has been done in their life, We need to restore them and love them and put our arms around them and say, listen, I love you, Jesus loves you, and He wants to restore you back to the fullness. There is people that clearly has not made it back because they have been offended or they have been, something has been said to them to keep them away. Listen, the Bible clearly lets us know the ministry is caring for spiritual needs of believers, ministering to those that are overtaken by a fault. Ministering is encouraging one another. Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we need to be in church more than ever before because time is running out. Time is of the essence. This world looks like they're going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. Things are just going to be forever. No, there's eventually going to come a day where everything ends. Listen, ministering is evangelizing. Acts 8 and 8, and there was a great joy in that city. My third point today in closing, what happens when we all do the work of the ministry? This is a question. I want you to look at this. What happens, Pastor, when we all do the work of the ministry? What happens, Pastor, if everybody is doing the work of this church at Victory Fellowship? What happens, Pastor, if everybody is firing on all cylinders? And everybody's doing what you're saying, Pastor, what the Word of God is saying. What's going to happen here? Ephesians 4 and 13, look at this, follow with me. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carrying about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, look at this, in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head of Christ, the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in what? In love. Now you may say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? What happens when we all do the work of the ministry? What happens? We begin to unify ourselves and we become the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We reflect and we emulate. Let's look at the word emulate. Means that we are to reflect. We are to follow after Christ. That we emulate His love. We emulate His mercy. We emulate His grace. And when we come together as we all come as together in oneness of the body, and when we're doing our part and what God has called you and I to do, till we all come to the unity, until we realize we've got to unify ourselves. We've got to not only unify ourselves, but we've got to unify ourselves in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, knowing that it's not your ability or my ability to make this union take place, but we're to come together to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Why? Because we're growing. We're growing. because we're growing through our trials, as I've said. We're growing through our sufferings, as I've said. We're growing as God continues to allow us to grow, and we're not being tossed to the left nor to the right. We're not listening to what man is saying with all the trickery and all the cunning craftiness that Satan tries to put on us that plots against us, but we're speaking the truth. That's why we've got to come back to the Bible. You know, everybody has ideas. Everybody has theories. Everybody has their own wisdom within their own intellect. But when it comes to our spiritual walk with God, we've got to go back to the Word of God. We've got to go back to the Bible. We've got to go back to where God wants us to be. That's how we're able to unify ourselves in all ministries, because we're reflecting not of ourselves and our ability, but we're reflecting on God Himself. The church then becomes unified. Believers become Christ-like. Christians become solid in faith and in the doctrine of God's Word, not the doctrine of man. The Word says, am I going to be a man pleaser or am I going to be a God pleaser? Listen, the church is protected from false teaching. Love flows through all the preaching and the teaching that we hear. The church grows and is known for fellowship and love when we begin to look to the cross and we're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. In my closing, let us return to God's plan for His church. Let's leaders be perfect, in other words, mature, for the saints to serve. The word perfection means the right relationship with the Lord, to mature the saints to serve. A ministering church will reach its community for Christ. Let me say it again. A ministering church will reach its community for Christ. Why? Because you will have a burning desire that not only do you come to church and not only do you see others in church, but you will want to see other people in church. That you want to see families, seniors, adults, young people, all of this. When we come into the unity, when we come into the unity of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we look and focus in on the main thing being the main thing, and that is Christ in the center of your relationship, that's when everything begins to come together. Stand with me across the building today. As I've always said, that's when God becomes God in your life.